It's the 20-Minute Morning Show. This is BJ Murphy here with Keith Smith, attorney Keith Smith of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Good morning, Brother Murphy. Thank you for this opportunity.
Running for district court judge is right up your alley because you clearly, from your body of work, you want to make a difference in the community.
Oh, absolutely. People ask me why I want to run for judge, and it's not about power. It's not about prestige. It's not about position. It's about the people.
Right.
If we're looking at the P's, the most important P is the people. And I think sometimes we forget about the people when we're looking at what goes on in the community. I've been working for the community specifically, professionally, for the last 35 years.
Right.
But even before that, my parents instilled in me that you need to help others. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a little backstory about me. I was born in Brooklyn, but I was raised in the South. I was blessed to be raised in the South.
Okay.
I was adopted
at
an early age by some older parents that were interested in raising a child who was, you know, somewhat challenged. And I happened to be the the beneficiary of that opportunity. So I grew up in the big city of China Grove, North Carolina.
Right.
Population about 2,800 when I was growing up. I think the population has grown to a massive number of 3,300.
Wow.
As of today's day. But it's a growing community.
Absolutely. I love it.
Good place to grow up. I learned a lot. Really supportive community. So going back to the point about why I'm investing in this is because people have always invested in me. And I think in order for us to make a difference in our community, we have to invest in others, even if it's just a little bit, even if it's just talking to that young person that you see, just encouraging them. I work for Mecklenburg County specifically as an attorney dealing with Child Protective Service Matters, DSS. And we deal with a lot of families that have tremendous challenges, whether it's poverty, and you can't take someone's child due to poverty, but there are other issues related to domestic violence, substance abuse, mental health challenges, and just life and trauma.
What are we not seeing, Keith? You being an attorney, being in the system, and running for a district court judge, some of the things that the average citizen is not aware of that's going on that's very detrimental that's going on with our youth.
I think we're dealing with individuals that have hit a wall of hopelessness.
Mm.
And I think that's the most challenging thing that we deal with in our community is when people feel that they're hopeless.
Yeah.
Charlotte is a great city.
Yes.
You see wealth, you see money, but I don't know if everyone has access to opportunity. You're on one street, a house is $600,000, next block over, you're struggling.
Yeah,
you're just at the bottom.
Yeah.
And although it's a stone's throw, how do you get over there?
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the path is school, education, and I promote that all the time. But people have to see some value, some return on their investment in that. And I think that's a challenge when you're essentially coming from the bottom.
I was listening to NPR, and they were talking about America has a fetish for putting Black men in jail. So, you know, you talk about the cycle of poverty and you see all these young people ushered into jail. What is your plan to thwart that?
And I think it's really positive that there are a number of judges that have looked at alternatives. Everybody doesn't need to go to jail.
Right.
Half the time people come in with these minor offenses. There needs to be some other options. Hopefully law enforcement is looking at deferring these folk out before, using their discretion possibly. It's like talking to the young folk versus, well, they have a marijuana roach or some small amount of something. It's like, I'm not advocating the use of that, but is that really worth utilizing the system's time and also incarcerating someone and putting a blight on their record forever?
Mm.
You know, if you have a felony, that really limits your opportunities.
Yeah.
And working in a district attorney's office as a prosecutor, and I know, dang, how can a Black man work for the prosecutor's office at any point in time? We have to have people on that side of the equation.
Yes.
In order to see how these decisions are made. Prosecutors have a tremendous amount of power. They make charging decisions. They make decisions about whether someone is going to face this amount of time, whether or not that charge is going to be dismissed, or whether it's going to be deferred out. And we've got to have people on that side. Because I saw when I was in a different county, I'm not going to mention the county, but I saw opportunities being presented to members of the majority community that weren't necessarily presented to members of the minority community.
Right.
As far as charging decisions or outcomes, and you have to have people on both sides and make sure things that are things are equitable.
You get railroaded every time. At least somebody's in the room and say, hey, wait a minute. Have you thought about this? Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about the district attorney, I don't think people really understand the role of a district attorney.
It's to do justice.
Okay.
That's the role.
Right. Why is it so important for us to have district court judges like you in position?
Because you have to have someone who is committed to fairness, mm-hmm. accountability. I don't have a problem with holding people accountable because I expect people to hold me accountable. And my parents held me accountable and other folk in the community held me accountable when I was coming up. But you also had to have that focus on compassion and equity. Like I said, everybody doesn't need to go to jail. Everybody doesn't need to have the maximum amount of punishment. But people that are engaging in wrongful activities time and time again, you got to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
So there's got to be that balance. Nobody's saying people do just whatever they want to do because we can't have an organized or orderly society if that's the circumstance. But you also have to have that focus on fairness.
Right.
And to be honest, you see young folk come in, and you have to take into consideration some of the challenges that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I deal with children and families on a daily basis, and I tell you off the top, I do not know how they're doing as well as they're even doing.
Wow.
And that's not, they're not doing well, but yeah. You're like, man, if I had to deal with that,
mm-hmm.
how would I survive?
Like, for example, what are some of the things that you've seen?
You have individuals that don't have a place to stay on a regular. Mm-hmm. You have a father or a mother who's dealing with substance abuse issues. Then you add, you may have a grandparent that had the same situation and circumstances, and you got generations of folk that have been traumatized by life. So how do you expect this young person to do well?
Right.
Or how do you expect this parent who's been traumatized to take care of their child like they need to? So what I will give the county credit for in DSS, they do spend a lot of resources and they really try to work with these families.
Yeah.
But you also, once again, falling back to, sometimes it's just hard for people to trust systems.
Yes.
And to be honest,
yeah.
And I teach at a college level, and we do the analysis of a lot of these systems have not been built for the common man.
Right.
I won't even just say for people of color.
Yeah.
But for the common man. If you look at the Constitution wasn't really designed for the average person.
Mm.
It was designed for wealthy male planners that have money and power.
Yeah. Wow. So when you're going to be sitting up on the bench,
mm-hmm.
and you look out in the audience and it's just a sea of black people,
mm-hmm.
sitting there, right? What do you think is going through most of the district court judges that are in place right now? What is in their mind, and what was it that you said that, man, I got to run for district court judge because we could do better than this? What are you seeing in the courtrooms that?
Well, I will speak for the judges that are on the bench, because I will be honest, the majority of judges that I've dealt with have been fair.
Okay.
They've been equitable, and that's all I expect out of judges. But going specifically to me, I want to take that message forward, especially from my perspective of, you know, the way I grew up, the people I've dealt with professionally, the work situations I've dealt with. I've held up, you're looking at my bio over there, an array of opportunities and jobs. I've been a probation parole officer. My first job out of college was working in prison. I've done the child protective service investigations for a long period of time. I've been a prosecutor. I've been an attorney for DSS. I've seen people at their lowest.
Mm.
Right. So I want to bring that part of my experience to folk in the courtrooms. Like, I don't know exactly what you're going through, because I probably haven't experienced everything you've dealt with, but I have some sense of what you're dealing with just from my professional environment and also my upbringing. I've been in contact with folk that have challenges. My life has been blessed.
Yes.
You know, I avoided a lot of challenges just by being adopted at an early age.
Yes.
But a lot of folk haven't been blessed with that. I hope that the majority of judges have the view that, well, maybe people didn't grow up in the best environment.
Yeah. Let me ask you about your wife.
Okay.
You know, you running for district court judge, and what kind of support and encouragement do you get from her? Because when you win this seat, it's going to take up a whole lot more of your time. Talk about the family commitment to justice.
She has been phenomenal, and I will give a shout out to Shannon Chavis Smith, who is a phenomenal mind. She's the one that needs to be running for judge because she's the brains of the operation. Dedicated, detailed, oriented, focused, committed, but also going back to she just has a love and a heart for the people. Mm. So she's been very supportive. My daughter, who's a multimedia journalist, who's sort of in your wave, yeah. Has been a really good asset in terms of, like, you need to think about this. This is a way you need to convey messages. This is how you connect to young people. I'm old school, so I'm still pen and paper right. And calling folk. And, you know, that's not really how young folk communicate. So right. Those two in combination have been phenomenal.
Can you separate the coldness of the courtroom, the sterile environment of the courtroom? It's black and white. How do you incorporate who you are, your spiritual self? Because you're a beautiful brother. You know, you got a lot of compassion. You have a lot of empathy. Can that work?
It can.
Okay.
Yeah, we believe in the rule of law. But with that being said, you have to look at the facts as they're related to the parties. Mm-hmm. You have to look at the individualism or the individual nature of what you're dealing with. One of the people I deal with at work, when a social worker comes in and we talk about a particular case and situation, I always ask them not only about the facts, but how would you feel if you were placed in this position? And are we being fair and equitable in terms of how we're addressing this? You know, theoretically, I can think of anything. Going back to the academic side, I know what the book says. Mm-hmm. I know what the law says, but how do we reach that medium where we can actually have the best impact and best effect? So that's from the staffing decision, also to the courtroom.
Can you introduce new programs?
I think going back to the judges that are currently on the bench, I think they really look at progressive programs that are out there. And I think they're always looking for innovation, especially when it comes to helping young folk. So there is an opportunity to do that. I know the statutes do limit some things in terms of you can't introduce certain programs that don't exist or that don't have a basis in the statute, but there is leeway and there is some level of discretion. If I'm blessed to be elected as a judge, I will be looking at all possible options and alternatives. And there are a lot of great community organizations here in the city that I don't think everybody knows about.
Yeah.
And we need to utilize those more so than just, we know about the big ones. We know about the big ones, but there are others that are probably out there doing just as much groundwork as some of the bigger ones.
How many black district court judges are there in Mecklenburg County? Do you know?
Can I count them off the top of my head? Mecklenburg County actually has
are we well a represented?
Good number.
Okay.
But let's not look at, and I'm not going to give you the numerics, but it's a decent number. It's a decent number, okay. 10 plus. But if you look at the state as a whole, our numbers aren't anything like that. There are 100 counties in the state of North Carolina and a number of judicial districts that don't have any representation of color at all.
If I was a mother who'd been having trouble with my 17-year-old son and he's about to go to prison and we're before you because, you know, we done reached the limit of mercy.
Mm-hmm. Is there a limit to mercy, though?
Well, it depends on what you do, right? We done had chance after chance and then we had the mercy of you as a district court judge of what the next step is. What would be something that you would tell the mother and that young son?
We want to make sure that this young person still understands that there is an opportunity to grow and go forward, whatever that judicial determination is going to be. I think that I, specifically as a judge, as I'm going to look back at those facts and look at the opportunities that have been presented and whether or not everything has been utilized as far as options. I generally don't think incarceration solves all issues, but I'd have to look at the facts and the circumstances of that particular case. And to be honest, in district court, there is a limit to how much punitive sanction can be rest upon someone. And the maximum amount of time a district court judge is going to be able to render out is 2 years. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a superior court judge with that discretion to do life or other alternatives. So once again, that would be it.
So let's go to transparency, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how much does transparency play in the political theater of being a district court judge or anybody that's in leadership making decisions over people's lives? Mm-hmm. How important do you take your morality?
Mm-hmm. Oh, extremely important. Okay. And I think that's an advantage that a judge, whether it be a district court judge, superior court judge, a court of appeals judge, or even at the highest level, Supreme Court judge, whether it be the state or the federal bench, you are supposed to make decisions based upon the rule of law, but also how you feel. You're supposed to be authentic. And I think judges probably have more ability to be more authentic than most.
So nobody in there trying to be Judge Mathis, right?
Oh, he gets to do that because he's on a paid form. He can, you know. And to be honest, we all have our biases.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to manage those.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
For example, I dealt with some individuals in my home county as a prosecutor. And we all profile people in a way. You said it's a good old guy from this town. You had a stereotype in your head. But can you treat him like that based upon what your past has said or what you thought about this particular profile?
Yeah.
No, you base your decision and how you treat that individual based upon the facts and the law.
Right.
And that's the way it's supposed to be.
That's right.
And that's when you start having a problem is when people start varying. Going back to juvenile situations, I think there was a point in time, and fortunately I wasn't involved in that time frame here. I was actually in a different county at that point. But there's a point in time where you'd have a young African-American male come in a juvenile setting, a young Caucasian male come in a juvenile setting, same essential delinquency concerns, same essential background. Why would one stay in detention and one go home? Or even backing it up, law enforcement encounters them. Why does one end up with a referral to juvenile and the other doesn't? That's the type of biases that we don't need in our system. And that's why we need individuals that are dedicated to removing those biases from the system and individuals that are on the bench that are dedicated to making sure that they meet people where they are and make decisions based upon. I'm going to keep going back to you got to follow the law. But you also have to look at the facts and have some variance for where people are coming from.
So your main platform that you want everybody to know that Keith Smith is standing on for district court judge, what is that pillar that you're standing on?
Fairness, accountability, compassion, and equity. And if somebody comes in the courtroom, everybody deserves an opportunity to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly.
Yeah.
Without, like I said, those biases or, dang, he has no idea what I'm dealing with. Well, I may not have an idea, but you have an opportunity to tell me.
Yeah.
Or your attorney has an opportunity to present.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you're coming from. Does that mean you always get the decision you want? No, but who does? But were you heard? Going back to an experience as a probation parole officer, sometimes we had to execute arrest. And back in the old days, we didn't have guns. We had to use our mind, a pencil, pen, whatever, yeah. Handcuffs. And just discuss those things. And I never encountered a difficult situation because you meet people where they are.
Yeah.
You treat them with respect. If they're not doing what they're supposed to do, if they weren't following the terms, like, yeah, Mr. Smith, I know.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Right.
And that's the same approach. I've never had an issue with anybody in the community because I always believe in treating people with respect, just as I would expect for them to treat me with respect.
That's beautiful, man. So empathy is definitely a part of your program when you're dealing with people in the courtroom. And Keith Smith for District Court Judge, ksmithforjudge.com is the website. I know you're looking for volunteers and people
absolutely
to get on board. Tell us how we can do that.
They can reach out to us via the website at ksmithforjudge, ksmithforjudge at Instagram, ksmithforjudge at Facebook, or they can reach out to us via email at ksmithforjudge, F-O-R, forjudge@gmail.com. I look forward to speaking with folk. I'm a regular guy. More importantly, a regular guy with a passion and a heart for the people. And I really appreciate this opportunity to spend some time with you, BJ. I love what you're doing.
Thank you.
As you said, it's the bomb.
That's right. Hey, listen, now tell us about the voting cycle. When can we begin to vote for you?
Yeah, early voting starts April 28th. And this is really key, this election cycle, because to be honest, I don't think really people were paying attention to the fact that we have an election, a critical election. The primary date is actually on May the 17th. It's critical that people come out and vote. Definitely research the candidates. Just because I think I'm great Doesn't mean you need to think I'm great, but you need to research. You need to research me. You need to find out about me. And also the other candidates that are running. So if you want people that represent you wholly, you need to do your research and just not take things at face value. But we're really looking for people to get engaged in this process, and definitely people that feel they're underserved and don't believe that their voices are being heard.